Folks, can I encourage you to, if you've got your Bible, to turn to this section, Genesis 18 and 19. We could take a moment at the beginning of a devotional talk like this to think about some different contrasts that there are. I pushed the wrong button there, I think. Not quite the start I'd hoped for. We could think of lots of different contrasts, but tonight we're going to, without any further ado, look at the contrast between Abraham and his nephew, Lot. It is a very interesting, isn't the right word. It's a challenging contrast between this uncle and his nephew. And in Genesis 18 and 19, there are so many places where the contrast is made that it would seem that this is one of the things that the writer here is wanting to draw out. First of all, I just want to you to notice how the scripture speaks about the situation in which they found themselves. So first of all, their situation. Where does the Lord find these men? Well, if you've got your Bible, just a quick contrast. Genesis 18 and verse 1 says this: "The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day." So here's Abraham. He's sitting at the great trees of Mamre. That word Mamre actually means fatness or well-fed. It's a symbol. It's a word that itself speaks of a good place. And Abraham's sitting at the entrance of his tent. He's a pilgrim. He's sitting at the entrance of his tent. But look at the chapter 19 and verse 1. "When the angels of the Lord arrive at Sodom in the evening, Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city." So at one level, it's a very simple contrast that we have here. We see their situation. Let me put it very simple. Where's Abraham? What's his situation? Well, he's a pilgrim. He is not putting roots down in this world because he's moving. And you'll remember what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, that Abraham was looking forward to the city of God, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham, that was Abraham. He was a pilgrim, if you like, moving on, looking upward. But what about Lot? Well, Lot had settled down in Sodom, of all places. In this city, which was notorious for its ungodliness, for its wickedness, and for its sinfulness. It indeed was Sin City. All cities, in many ways, I realize, could be called Sin Cities. But certainly Sodom was Sin City. And you may indeed have been slightly shocked by the NIV translation of some of the stuff that was going on in the city that we read about from Genesis chapter 19. So that's the first thing. I'm not going to labor it, but I want you to notice, what was their situation? Where were these men? Abraham sitting in the place of blessing, the trees of Mamre, at the entrance of his tent, a pilgrim father, if you like. But Lot, sitting at the entrance along with the other leaders of the city of Sodom. Such a contrast. The second thing that I just want you to notice is Because these two chapters tell us about how the Lord met these two men. And it was all quite different. Again, chapter 18 and verse 2. The Lord appeared to Abraham. Verse 2 says, Abraham looked up and he saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed down low to the ground. He said, if I found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass my servant by. Let a little water be brought, that you may all wash your feet, rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so that you can be refreshed, and then go on your way. Now that you've come to your servant, very well, they answered, do as you say. So Abram hurried into the tent to Sarah, his wife. Quick, he said, get three seahs of fine flour, knead it, and bake some bread, and so on, and so forth. So the Lord comes to meet Abraham. He hurries to meet the Lord. He recognizes that the Lord has come to meet him, and he goes in, and along with his wife, along with others, he begins to prepare this meal for those who have come from the Lord. Genesis 19 tells us that whenever the angels came, let me remind you what it says. Yes, he saw them. He got up to meet them. Abraham had hurried. He got up to meet them. He bowed down with his face. My lords, he said, please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet, spend the night, then you can go on your way early in the morning. Donald Barnhouse, who was a great preacher of the gospel in the United States of America, in Philadelphia, in 10th Presbyterian, some of you may have been there, Donald Barnhouse once made a comment about this little part of the story, and he said this. He was picking up on the idea that compared to Abraham, who hurried to meet the Lord, the text of Scripture simply tells us that Lot got up and went to meet them. He said this. Lot was preoccupied with worldly things. He rose up to welcome the Lord, but there was no quickening of his senses to be ready for the Lord and to welcome him gladly. And then he makes this comment, the carnal Christian must always overcome the inertia of the world. And I don't think that's reading too much into this passage, that here we have Abraham who quickly and in a hurry goes to meet the Lord and to prepare for him along with his family. But Lot got up and went. Remember, Lot was obviously surrounded by other people. He gets up and he bows down, but there's something within his heart just holding him back from what he really should have done. And it's interesting, again, I don't think we're reading too much into the passage, that whenever we're told in Genesis chapter 18 about how Abraham, along with his wife and others, prepares the meal, I think this is interesting, that in Genesis 19, Lot seems to be alone in his preparation. Genesis 19 and verse 3. But he insisted so strongly that they go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast. And they ate. He prepared a meal for them. And you might say, where was his wife? Where were other people in the family to help? There is no mention of them. And all the commentators are of the view that this was a little indication of the fact that Lot was fighting a bit of a battle in his own home situation. It may well have been that his wife was not particularly pleased that these angels had come. Remember what we were saying this morning? Lot's wife, it would seem at this stage, her heart had been captured by other things. There is no mention here of others in the family coming to help Lot to prepare for these servants of the Lord. And so even in their meeting with the Lord, there's a little contrast. more than a little, I think, in how these two men do it. But the third thing that I want to you to just notice is they're receiving a word from the Lord. The Lord brought a word to both Abraham and to Lot. What was that word? Well, in Genesis chapter 18, Abraham receives a wonderful word of blessing. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 9. "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. "Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." It was a word of amazing blessing. It was a surprising word. Abraham didn't expect to hear that. He and Sarah were going to have a child at their stage in life. It was a word of blessing for Abraham. But what kind of word did Lot receive? Well, it wasn't what we could describe as a word of blessing. Let me bring you to it. You'll find it there in chapter 19 and verse 12. The two men said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belong to you? Get them out of here, because we're going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it." Can you see the contrast? The word that came to Abraham, a word of great joy, a word of great blessing, a word that caused Sarah, for different reasons, to laugh. But there was no laughing here. The word that came to Lot and his family was a word, flee. Literally, it was a word, flee from the wrath to come. And some of the family thought it was a joke. That tells you where they were. You see, Abraham was in the way of blessing. And he received further blessing. Young folk, listen to this. Older folk, listen as well. If you want to be blessed by God, get yourself into the place where you can receive that blessing. You will not receive a blessing if you are going off doing your own thing, if you are running off following your own instincts and satisfying your own desires. That was where Lot was and his family. And the word that they received from the Lord was, flee from these things. But Abraham was in the place of blessing, and he received a further blessing. Give yourself day by day to Jesus. Make sure that you do not neglect having those moments of quietness where you can read the Bible and talk to the Lord in prayer. Though that's what it means to get yourself in a place where you can be blessed. Abraham was in the way of blessing, and he received a further blessing. Lot was not in a good place spiritually, and he received a warning from God. Furthermore, you can think about this. We read in Genesis chapter 18 and verses 16 and 17 that the Lord stoops to confide with Abraham. Look what it says, Genesis 18 and verse 16. "When the man got up to leave, they looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said," listen to this, "shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?" The Lord confides in this man. The Lord gets alongside this man and brings a word to him that other people didn't really know much about. Why? Because he was in the place of blessing. He was in the place where he could receive that. And brother and sister in Christ, when we are in a particular place of seeking to go on with the Lord, sometimes the Lord reveals things to our hearts that otherwise we wouldn't know anything about. What a contrast with Lot. It That's extraordinary. As I have thought about this, it has struck me how extraordinarily, I was going to say foolish, Lot seems to be. But because even when he's told what's about to happen, you would think he would get his family and he would run for your life, Lot. But we're told that he hesitates. He keeps hesitating. We're told that in chapter 19 and verse 16. When he hesitated, the men grasped him. And you have this picture of Lot and his family almost being trailed out of the city by these angels. It's extraordinary. What a contrast. They're receiving a word from the Lord. The fourth thing, I only have 4 points, don't worry, is to do with their praying. Again, the contrast, chapter 18, those of you who are following this, chapter 18 and verse 22, the men turned away and went toward Sodom, and Abraham remained standing before the Lord. And then we have a little section, we're not going to go into it in detail tonight, but really from verse 22 on, you have a picture of Abraham pleading with God, praying, crying unto God for Sodom and for the righteous and for the people who are there. He's obviously thinking of his nephew Lot and their family. And he pleads with God. What does Lot do whenever he's told about all that's going to happen? As I've said to you, you would think that he would get on his heels and run. But he not only hesitates, but we're told in chapter 19 and verse 18 and following that he almost tries to bargain with God. Let me read chapter 19 and verse 18. But Lot said to them, "No, my lords, please, your servant has found favor in your eyes." Well, I don't know if he really had. "And you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me and I'll die. Look, here's a town near enough to run to, and it's small. Let me flee to it. It's very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared." Abraham is pleading with God, crying unto God, interceding with God. But Lot is bargaining with God. It's not really prayer. Sometimes we can fall into that trap as well. Is your prayer life about really crying unto God, pleading with God, or is it just, "Lord, if you do this, I'll do that," and so on and so forth? That's not really prayer. We'll not go into the details here, but you can see, if you read the end of Genesis 19, it records the end for Lot, and it really is a tragic and a sad end. I'll not read it for you. You can read it yourself. It's a really very sorry end about Lot. And one of the writers says that alone should be enough to turn us from our sin and cause us to determine to serve God utterly. Let me try and pull this together. What's this teaching us? It's teaching us lots of things. Lot is the poor example here. He's an example of what happens when you begin to treat sin lightly. Somewhere along the line, Lot went off the rails somewhat, and it led to disaster. And that's what happens when as I said this morning, if you're ever tempted to treat sin, well, it's not really that serious. It's just a small little sin. It's just a short little look that I'm having. It's just a small little thing that I'm indulging in. But that leads to a larger and disastrous end if it's not turned from. Recently, I heard a colleague say that one of his favorite verses was John 3:30. He must increase, I must decrease. And you know, in Abraham's life, the Lord was increasing. But in Lot's life, the Lord was decreasing. Lot here is a salutary lesson for us all. Let me ask you this evening, where are you spiritually? You say to me, well, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian. Well, praise the Lord for that. But let me ask you a little bit further this evening. Are you like Abraham, a pilgrim in the way of blessing? Or are you like Lot, stuck in Sodom, in some Sodom, in the way of warning? What is my point? Well, one of my points, as I've alluded to already, there's a lovely little phrase, and I'm sure many's a sermon has been preached on it later in Genesis. You can look it up sometime. In Genesis chapter 24 and verse 27, and I do love the authorized version rendering of this particular phrase, and the phrase is this: I, being in the way, the Lord led me. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Genesis 24 and verse 27. Tell me tonight, Christian, are you in the way or are you out of the way? If you're in the way, you're in the way as Abraham was, the place and the way where you can be blessed. George Mueller, the great Christian leader, once said something like this: that if our circumstances find us in God, we shall find God in our circumstances. Let me repeat that. If our circumstances find us in God, then we shall find God in our circumstances. Young person, are you in the way? Are you in the way of genuinely wanting God's anointing and blessing to be upon you? If you are, then God will bless you. But if you're going through life saying, you know, I want to be a Christian, but I want to do this as well, it doesn't work. Take it from me and many, many others. It doesn't work. Some of us here this evening have tried that way, and it doesn't actually work. It ends up producing slightly miserable Christians because they're neither one thing nor the other. The Lord's servants were told, the Lord's servants told Lot to flee, get out of Sodom. And let me finish with this. The gospel message, the gospel message, which must also come from every passage of Scripture, the gospel message essentially is flee to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Flee from the wrath and the judgment to come. Where do I run to? Run into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall be saved, and you shall be rescued, and you shall be kept for that happy day. Do not hesitate, like Lot. Do not dither. Do not dander. Do not assume, as we said this morning, in a few years' time, towards the end of my life, I will get myself right with God. I've never heard such nonsense in my life. And I can think of people who talk that way. There was never any evidence that it happened. Let that be a warning to you folks. Don't let the devil dupe you into thinking one day I'll get it sorted. Today, now is the accepted time. And if you're a Christian here this evening, allow the lesson from Lot and his family to teach you and me to be very, very careful not to fall into the trap of wanting to have a foot in both camps. It doesn't work. Many a keen Christian, many a keen young Christian has become a lukewarm Christian by following that path. It's the road to a defeated Christian life. But the road to a victorious Christian life is to run to Jesus every day, to trust Jesus every day, to seek the face of Jesus every day, to bear witness to Jesus every day. That's the way of victory. So where are you tonight? As I finish, and I do finish with this, the time has gone. Where are you tonight? Are you like Lot, stuck in Sodom, living a defeated Christian life? Or are you like Abraham, the pilgrim, who was in the way of blessing? And Abraham, being in the way, the Lord led him. The Lord led him.